Good morning. Today's daf in Brachos, daf Mem Gimel. We're back on Mem Beis Amud Beis, and a little bit to go to finish up the daf. Okay, let's say halfway down the daf to finish the daf. Okay, the discussion we had is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah, if you remember yesterday, talked about wine. Now, our culture, our society, we don't put such a premium on drinking wine, but in the time of the Gemara, though, drinking wine was very significant. They would drink wine before the meal, they would drink wine after the meal, and they would even drink a little bit of wine during the meal. But as the Gemara itself pointed out yesterday, the drinking of the wine during the meal, that's lishroso. That's just simply to soak the food. But the wine that you drink before the meal, the wine that you drink after the meal, those were significant wines. The discussion the Gemara had yesterday based on the Mishnah is, when do you make a bracha? And when you do make the bracha, does it cover other drinkings of the wine? So if you remember the Mishnah we mentioned yesterday, I want to go over the Mishnah again because it really sets the groundwork for the Gemara and the discussion coming up. So the Mishnah says, Berech Hayan Shilfnei HaMazon, Patra Seyan Shalach HaMazon. So if you make a bracha of wine before the meal, so in other words, there was a pre-meal wine. In other words, there was wine before the meal. Before the meal meaning before you even wash your hands, before you made Amotzi. So you drank a cup of wine then. So good. So now you made a Borei Pregafen, obviously. That'll cover you. That'll cover you not only for anything you... Well, I'll get to the anything you drink during the meal. That may be questionable. But that'll cover you even for the wine that you drink after the meal. Now, let me be clear. I said this yesterday. After the meal means before benching. Meaning after you bench, benching... cleans you out, meaning then you're back to scratch in terms of brachas again, right? You can't make a bracha before benching and let that cover you for after benching. In fact, this principle is so true, it's so correct that we make a bracha of wine, we bench over a cup of wine, right? I know it's not that popular, but when people have a minyan, so they're going to bench over a cup of wine, and probably more correct to bench over a cup of wine, even if there isn't a minyan. But anyway, we bench over a cup of wine. You notice how any other time that we do something over a cup of wine, we make the bracha of wine first. Okay, let me give you examples. Kiddush, we make the bracha over the wine first, and then we say kiddush. I know we have the paragraph of a yichulu, but don't get confused. Meaning that kiddush is the bracha, right? So and we make the borei pregafen before havdalah. Same story. We make the borei pregafen before, and then we make havdalah. And when it comes to benching, when we bench over a cup of wine, we don't make a bracha of wine first and then bench. Well, why not? But the answer is very simple. Because once you bench, that wipes you out. Meaning that. You can't make a bracha of wine, then bench, and then drink the wine, because now that you benched, so that has now eradicated every bracha that you made. So it's a logistic issue, so therefore we bench, and then afterwards you make the bracha over the cup of wine. Okay, that's fine. So our Mishnah told us that. You make a bracha of wine before the meal, so that'll cover you and for the wine that you drink at the end after the meal is over, before you bench. Okay, good. The post-meal wine. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. Now, this would also be true with any parperis, any four spice that you eat before the meal. So if you eat that after the meal is over, so it's covered. And then, of course, the tried and true halacha that we know very well, which is that once you make a motzi, it covers all other foods, but that's not true with any other bracha. Meaning when you make a bracha over a papyrus, it won't cover anything else. And then Beis Shammai makes an ambiguous statement, which we'll try to explain a little bit better today. We'll try to. Beis Shammai says in the Mishnah, Aflo Maisa Kedera, it won't help you from Maisa Kedera. We'll come back to that, and we'll explain that as well. And then the Mishnah goes on, but okay, we're right now in that first part of the Mishnah. So Ibayilahu. I know I did this yesterday, but we're going to go over this again. Today we're in the middle of Mem Beis Amud Beis, and let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara says like this. What about wine in the middle of the meal? So functionally speaking, when you drink wine in the middle of the meal, it has a different function. The wine before the meal, that's wine. The wine after the meal, that's wine. Well, what's wine in the middle of the meal? What is that? Isn't that wine? No, that's digestion. Yeah, correct. It's a good way to say it. So in terms of loma berach al yanshel lefnei amazim potos yanshel achem amazim mishum dezelishtos vezelishtos. Yeah, the wine before the meal, that's drinking wine. The wine after the meal, that's drinking wine. In the middle, aval hacha dezelishtos vezelishros. The wine in the middle of the meal, that's shriya, that's soaking. Lo odilma loshna. The Gemara says, oh look, we don't look at the function. Meaning wine is wine is wine is wine. I'm drinking wine in the beginning, I'm drinking wine at the end, I'm drinking wine in the middle, it's all drinking. I understand it serves a different purpose, but so what? It's wine. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Poter, Rav Kahana Amar Eino Poter. Debate. A lot of debate on this issue. Rav Nachman Amar Poter, Rav Sheshes Amar Eino Poter, Rav Huna Barav Yehuda V'chol Tamidah de Rav Amar Eino Poter. Okay? Major debate. Whether or not the bracha that you make over the wine in the middle of the meal will cover you for the wine after the meal. Eitzvei Rav Rav Nachman. So the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman. Now Rav Nachman is of the opinion that wine is wine is wine. So therefore it doesn't matter what the function is. As long as you make a bracha, you're covered. So the Gemara says, Balam yayin b'so chamazim kol echa v'echad mevarech la'atzmo. Let's say they're sitting down at the table and wine is presented right in the middle of the meal. They all need to bake a bracha on their own. La'achar amazon, but after the meal, meaning the meal is now over, and wine is presented at the end of the meal, echem avarach l'kulam, one person can make a bracha on behalf of everybody. In the middle of the meal, why can't one person do it for everyone else? We'll talk more about this later this morning. The reason is in the middle of the meal, you don't have everyone's attention, right? Everyone's eating. After the meal's over and now wine is being served, you have everyone's attention, therefore you can make a bracha for everyone. But right now that's not our focus. Our focus is one simple point, and that is that you see that there was wine served in the middle of the meal and there was wine served at the end of the meal. And what happened? They made a bracha on both. So you see that the wine in the middle of the meal is not going to pot to the wine at the end of the meal. Okay, so Rav Nachman, so how are you going to handle that? So I'm like, hachi kamar, imlo balayam yayim besocha mazon alacha mazon echem avarech l'kulam. Rav Nachman will tell you very simply, you didn't learn the Braisa correctly. Meaning, you thought the Braisa was talking about where wine was served in the middle of the meal and at the end of the meal, and after the meal. That's not correct. Meaning, the point the Braisa was making is, if wine is served in the middle of the meal, this is a halacha. And if wine is served at the end of the meal, then this is a halacha, but the Braisa is not talking about where they were both served. We go on in the Gemara. Baruch ala pas pater es ha-prepares, ala prepares lo pater es ha-pas. Beishamay omim af lo maisa kedera. Okay. Well, now we get to this ambiguous statement of Beishamay, not even maisa kedera. Maisa kedera, you remember, we talked about this at length over the course of the sixth parak of Brachos. Maisa kedera is basically bread that was cooked into some sort of dish. Okay? And the bracha is typically a mizonos. But anyway, ibailu Beishamay aresha pligi odilma astefa pligi. In other words, what was Beishamay commenting on in the Mishnah? It's ambiguous. The Mishnah, the way the Mishnah presents itself, we do not have clarity on what Beishamay is commenting on. Now, dekamatanakama berach lapas patras apar peres v'koshke maisa kadera. Meaning, look, here's the Tanakama's position. You make hamotzi. It covers everything. Any food that comes now in the meal is covered by your motzi. Now, it covers parperes, which is basically tangential foods, and certainly it'll cover maisa kedera, because maisa kedera is like this close to being bread, right? And what Beit Shammai is saying is no, meaning unequivocally no, that when you make motzi, the only thing it covers is bread and nothing else. Is that what Beit Shammai is saying? Or maybe Beit Shammai is making a different point altogether, which is diktani berach al papers al pater as a pas hu de la pater of a maisa kedera pater. Maybe it's what Beit Shammai is saying is that on the next point, which is that if you make a bracha on parperis, it won't cover bread. And what Beit Shammai is saying is, look, I agree it won't cover bread, but it'll cover maisa kedera, which means that Beit Shammai is being lenient. Vasu Beit Shammai lememar, I feel maisa kedera, I'm sorry, that's the position of the Tanakama. And what Beit Shammai is saying is no, that your bracha over preparis won't even cover the Maisa Kedera. So Teiku, the Gemara says, look, we don't know. We simply don't know. When Beit Shammai made that comment in the Mishnah, we don't know if he was going on the first clause of the Mishnah or the second clause of the Mishnah. Okay. Again, we're trying to understand the position of Beit Shammai. It's not the halacha, but lahagdil Torah, meaning it's still, it's a position, there's value in understanding the position in, okay, even though it's not the halacha. Hayu yoshven kol echad ve'echad. Here we go. The discussion the Gemara is about to have right now, fascinating discussion, me making a bracha on behalf of somebody else. Meaning, now, in mitzvos, we know we could do that basically under any and all circumstances. Meaning, I blew shofar, Rosh Hashanah coming up, I blew shofar, so I'm going to blow now for somebody else who hasn't heard. Good, right, even though I was already yotzei my mitzvah. Right, why? So the... yeah, right, because Kol Yisrael Raven Zelazem, meaning I'm responsible for my mitzvah, I'm responsible for your mitzvah, so I'm going to blow for you. Okay, so in other words, me making a bracha for somebody else is totally a concept that we're familiar with. Interesting, I was learning with my young men, my boys yesterday. We learned Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Now, it's just, I'm saying this as an aside. On Rosh Hashanah, so a woman's not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. It's a mitzvah of sesei shehazman gram. It's time bound. So they're not obligated. But the minog, which is practiced universally, is that they go to shul, they hear shofar. Okay, they're not obligated, but they wanna do it by all means. It's by shofar. It's it's recommended. It's it's a minog. It's a minog that women go hear the shofar. So let's say I already fulfilled my mitzvah, and now a woman's asking me to blow. So you blow. In other words, even though she's not obligated, and even though I already fulfilled my mitzvah, but still you blow. In other words, there's still value in her hearing it, and so you blow. So I saw the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch yesterday, and this is not the halacha, but it's interesting. He said, I couldn't believe it, he said that if you already fulfilled your mitzvah, you should not blow for a woman. Oh, yeah. To you, that's like... right, okay. You understand it. Okay, I thought it to be interesting. Anyway, Hayu Yoshin Kol Echad Ve'echad. Now, here's the story. Now, we're talking now about making a bracha on food and including others in on the bracha. Okay? So, basically, the central point of our discussion over the next, I'd say, almost Amud of Gemara is basically the following. He needs people's attention. It's not easy to get everyone's attention, and if I'm going to listen to somebody making a bracha, I need their attention. Now, over a mitzvah, in other words, I have a captive audience, meaning he wants to fulfill the mitzvah, he needs me, we're good. But food is very distracting, right? I think we can all agree.
How can you fulfill somebody else's mitzvah to food?
No, I'm saying... I'm not talking about mitzvah. Now I'm talking about just simply the act of eating.
You make a motzi and I can eat with that...
Yeah.
Would that make a hamotzi?
No, you're going to listen to my hamotzi.
Right.
You're going to answer amen, and you're going to eat. But we're not even talking right now about motzi. We're talking about really any birchas hanani. The discussion over here is really has broad application to any bracha where I'm making over food, and you're listening in. Now, what do we... Huh? The summon we're going to talk about later this morning. But look at the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says like this. Now we're on the next part of the Mishnah. I go back. I'm at the bottom of the Yamud of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Yoshin kol echad mevarech la'atz. I'm sorry. Hayu Yoshin kol echad mevarech la'atzmo. Our Mishnah says that if everyone's sitting together. Now, sitting for us, that's the position of choice when we sit around the table. We sit. But in the time of the Mishnah, sitting is kind of like the same thing, like where everyone's like running around. They didn't view sitting as stationary. Sitting for them was like very close to out the door. So if everyone's sitting, everyone's got to make a bracha to themselves. Because that's not koveya. No one is set. However, hesebu, but if we're reclining, so echa mevarech l'kulan. Right? You see that in the Mishnah? So now let's take this to the Gemara. We are starting now. On the bottom of the Amud, Amen Beis, we start with the discussion. Hesebu and lo hesebu, lo v'riminu. Gemara says, how about this? Let's take a look at the Tosefta together. Asar sheyocham derech, afa pishkulan ochle mikikar echa, kol echa v'echa mevarech l'atzmo. 10 people on the way, walking, eating bread. Everyone's got to make a bracha to themselves, even if they're sharing the same loaf of bread. But one person can't make a bracha for everybody because they're not clear of mind. They don't have a set mind in order to be able to hear another person make a bracha. Yashva l'echol, but if they sat to eat, afa pisha kol echa v'echad, acha mikikaro, echa mevarech l'kulam. But once they sit down to eat, so then one person can make a bracha on behalf of everybody, because now they're set. Now, you get the basic idea, but it's difficult with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, sitting is not enough. Our Mishnah says you need hasebo. Ketani yashva, afa pishalo hasebo, amar av nachmar, yitzchak kagon, So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. I take it back. I don't know if it's simple. But the Gemara gives the following answer. In that Tosefta we just learned, it wasn't that they just sat, but they made a plan to sit. They actually said, let's go there, let's go sit down over there, and let's eat together. Once there's a plan to sit down, so now everyone's set. Everyone's koveya.
Even if they sit.
Right. Now, the Gemara tells a story. Rav dies, and students go to bury him. And Kihadre Amre Nezav Nechalachman. Now they're coming back from the burial, from the funeral, and they say Nechalachman Arn Dank. They make a plan. Let's go eat bread by the bank of the river. Basa Dekarchi Yasvei Kami Bayale Haseba Davka Taran Aval Yashvelo Odilma Kivan De Amre Nezav Nechalifta Beduchta Panasa Ki Haseba Dami. And now they want to know: does everyone have to make a bracha to themselves? Or can one person make a bracha on behalf of everybody? And basically what they were trying to figure out is our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah, the sixth parak of brachas that says that when can one person make a bracha on behalf of everybody where there's a seba? But they're sitting, they're not reclining. So maybe everyone has to make a bracha to themselves. Or the fact of the matter is that they made a plan. They actually set a plan to sit down and eat, and so maybe that's considered like their koveya. Lo havu b'yadaihu. And they didn't know. Meaning they asked the question, they simply did not know the answer. But this isn't learning in the Beis Medrash. This is practical. We're about to eat bread. What do we do? And they didn't know the answer. Kam rav adar ba'ava, ahadir kari la'acharei, v'kara kri achrina. So Rav Adar Ba'ahava, one of the students of Rav, does the following. He tore Kriya, meaning when your Rebbe dies, he tore Kriya. Okay? So in other words, so he was wearing a garment that already had Kriya on it. So what he did is Hadar Kari La'achore, he turned the garment, he flipped it around. So not really sure how to illustrate this, but in other words, basically now, he got to another part of his garment that was not torn, and he did Kriya again. The Kara Kriya Achrina, Amar, Nachnafshe Derav, Ubirchas Mizona Lo Gamrina. Rav died and we don't even know Birchas Amazon. Meaning we don't even know how to make a bracha over bread. We don't know these basic halachas and Rav's not here to give us instruction. And Rashi over here, powerful Rashi. I mean, it's a powerful story. It's a powerful Rashi. Rashi says that Achshav, right? In other words, first Rashi in the Amud, third line down. Meaning that right now it's as painful as the day that Rav died. Because now we need Hora, we need to paskin, and we simply don't know how to do it, and it's as painful as the day of his death, and therefore warrants a new Kriya. Adasa Usaba, now the Gemara talks about an elderly man. Ramalei Mastisa Nabraisa Vishani Lohu. And what did this elderly man do? By the way, you want to conjecture who this elderly man is? I know. You read my mind. Eliyahu Hanavi. But he comes and he says, look, it's funny, Eliyahu Hanavi, you think he just give the answer. No, he does it in learning. Meaning we have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa. You know, there's a Yishuv between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Kevadami, Nezavanech, Lachma, Bidok Plan, Kesebadami. And once you devise a plan that we're going to eat at a certain place, now you're koveya, and now you can. Now one person can make a bracha on behalf of everybody. Correct. Hasebu echan mevarich. Amar Rav Loshana Olapas. Now, here's the next part of the discussion. Good. So, in other words, first of all, you got to get everyone to stop moving. But stop moving doesn't mean just stop moving. It means either haseba, meaning everyone's got to be totally reclined, horizontal. That, you know, that's really the definition of we're not moving, right? We're here, or at least devise a plan. We're going to sit down over here, and we're going to eat over here. This is true by this is going to be true by wine. Sorry. Let me take that back. I've officially taken it back. Which foods is this true by? Okay, that's our next discussion. Amar Rav Loshana Olapas, Debaya Seba. Aval yayin lo baya seba. So we are going to have a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. We're going to have two versions of the machlokas. So version number one is that Rav says this is true by bread where it requires a seba. Wine doesn't even require a seba.
It's hard to drink, you know. Maybe that's fine.
I know, but they did, though. That's how they did it back then. Rav Yochanan, I feel yai nami by a seba. Now, Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says, no, wine also requires a seba. Okay. So, in other words, this threshold of kvias, is it the same for wine, or is it a little bit more relaxed? So, Rav says it's a little bit more relaxed, and Rav Yochanan says, no, it's not. The same threshold of kvias for bread is true by wine as well. Just like for bread, you need a seba. Everyone, not only to be there, not only to be sitting, but to be reclined. Wine, same story. And that's version number one of the machlokas. Ika da amre, version number two. Amrav lo shenu lapas de mehanyule haseba. Vayayin la mehanyule haseba. Now, version number two is that Rav tells us, haseba doesn't even work for wine. And Rav Yochanan, rafiul yayin nami mehanyule haseba. And according to Rav Yochanan, no, haseba works for wine. It comes out that version one, Rav is really radically different. Rav version number one versus Rav version 2.0. But in the Rav Yochanan position, it's pretty consistent. Meaning Rav Yochanan in version number one says that you need Haseba for wine, and in version number two he says Haseba helps for wine. It really comes out to be the same thing. Okay. Meitzve, and the Gemara says, here we go, we're going to learn now another Tosefta. Okay, we're going to be deep in Toseftas today. Ketzad Haseder Haseba. So how does eating work? How does the meal work? What's the basic game plan? So So the guests come in, and Rashi beautifully describes how basically this is how the wealthy would live. They would invite poor into their house, okay? And when the poor would come into the house, so there was a meeting room, right? Like when you go to the doctor's office. But this is going to be not as bad. They have a cup of wine ready for the person who's coming in. So as they're sitting down on benches, akatajos, achich nesukulam, and they're waiting for everyone to come in. Interesting minug, says the Tosefta. They would all wash just one hand. Just one hand, what? In other words, this washing is because their hands were actually dirty. And they're here to accept the cup of wine, but they're only drinking with one hand. So they only need to wash one hand. By the way, you'll appreciate this better when you think about the fact that water back in the good old days was a premium. Meaning, right, they didn't have like running water. So the idea of just washing one hand, meaning you don't have to use as much water. Now, here in this waiting room, where everyone got a cup of wine, so you only washed one hand to receive the cup of wine, and everyone had to make a bracha to themselves. Right here, there was no kvias. This is the waiting room, and we're only waiting to go into the main dining room. Now here in the main dining room, everyone's going to wash their two hands, even though they already washed one hand. Now remember, wine, because before the meal, you drink a cup of wine. Right? That wine that we drank earlier, that was just, you know, while everyone's waiting. Now we're in the main dining room. Now here's the official wine before the meal. Now here, kvias. And here, one person can make a bracha on behalf of everybody. Okay. Now, I am a little bit confused because for those people who already drank wine in the waiting room, they got to hear a bracha again? And maybe the answer is yes, because maybe there was a change of room and... Okay.
Did they say bracha challah or no?
No, because this led them into the meal.
It's going to be bread.
Okay. Now,
it sounds as preferable for one person in each one, right?
It sounds that way. I get that impression as well. Now, you understand where we're going with all this, because here we're talking about now kvias over wine. So, So the Gemara says, look, remember Rav's, the first version of Rav, where Rav says that by wine you don't need haseba, meaning you could be kovei over wine, even if we don't have people horizontal. Now, what about that waiting room scene? In that waiting room scene, everyone had to make a bracha to themselves. Well, according to Rav, why would that be? In other words, you can have one person making a bracha on behalf of everyone. Shani orchim de daita lameka. So the Gemara says, well, it's not fair. Not a good comparison, because there, in other words, there they know that that room is not where they're going to be eating, or even for that matter, drinking. Meaning they know that that's just a waiting room, and they know they're going to be moving. So the Gemara's expression is "daitula me'akir." They're in their mind, they're moving. So you can't, even according to Rav, who's more lenient by wine, but even there, you can't have one person making a bracha on behalf of another. Now, now let's go to Rav version 2.0, where in the second version of Rav, he said that Haseba doesn't even help you by wine. So let me ask you a question. Move on now into the main dining room, where one person made a bracha over wine for everybody. What's Rav version 2.0 going to say about that? Shani Hassan, Demigo, the Gemara Hanyel Esebel Apas, Hanyel Esebel Ayayim. The Gemara gives a fascinating answer. The Gemara says, yeah, you know, Rav in version 2.0, he will tell you that Hesebel doesn't even help for wine. But if it's wine plus bread, meaning because we know now in the main dining room, we're going to eat bread. So there's a Seba for bread. And now by bread, it's universally accepted that one person will make a bracha v'amotzi for everybody when we're in the main dining room. Since we have now a situation of a seba for bread, it will also work to have a situation of a seba for wine. Wine by itself will not work under any circumstance according to Rava version 2.0, but in conjunction with bread, or the Gemara uses the word migu, meaning it's like a piggyback. Since we have a seba for bread, we're also going to now have a seba for wine as well. Okay, by the way, halacha here follows like Rav Yochanan, which basically is, you need a seba for bread, and you equally need a seba for wine as well. Now, yeah, so now, right, so just touching a little bit on halacha, third Tosfos on the page, hove in beis abli apanu, no, you know what, let me read a little bit more before we get to that Tosfos. Okay. So they asked Ben Zoma the following question. It's a very simple question. In the middle of the meal, remember drinking in the middle of the meal? That's not drinking wine. It's, you know, it's digestion. It's soaking the food. But that's not drinking wine. So everyone's got to make a bracha to themselves. After the meal's over, now when wine is being served, and now we are drinking wine in the most formal way, so now one person makes a bracha for everybody. Why? So Ben Zoma answers very simply. So, Echem Averech L'Atzma, L'Acher Amazon, Echem Averech L'Kula, Amr Lahem, Hol Ve'ein Beis Habliya Panui. Now, what does that mean, Hol Ve'ein Beis Habliya Panui? So literally the words mean, because your throat is now free of any food. In the meal, right, you're eating. And therefore what? Now therefore what? So that's an important question. I'm going to read Rashi. Rashi writes, Hol vein beis abli apanui, vein lev hamesubin el hamavarech el levloa. Rashi says this is an issue of attention deficit. Right? In other words, when you're eating, there's nothing about physically having food in your mouth. That's not the issue, says Rashi. Right? You're not paying attention. Meaning the whole idea that I'm making a bracha and others are piggybacking on my bracha is that I have their attention. In the middle of the meal, right, it's hard to get people's attention. So therefore, I can't make a bracha for others. After the meal's over, and now I'm not focusing on what should I be reaching for now at the table, and now that we have everyone's attention, so therefore, one can make a bracha for everybody. So from Rashi's standpoint, it sounds like what Ben Zoma is saying is, it's really an issue of attention deficit while you're in the middle of the meal. Now let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, well, it sounds like from our Gemara, and after we read through Rashi, now you really hear this, that if I do get everyone's attention, and what words do I use to get everyone's attention? Savri Morai. Right? You ever wonder, right before you make a bracha of a Bar Pir HaGafen, where we have this minhag, it's universal, of saying Savri Maranav Rabasai, or some version of that. What are we doing? Now you know. We're getting everyone's attention. Right? It'd be helpful if everyone knew what that meant. But, but in other words, we're getting everyone's attention. Because The whole idea is now I'm about to make a bracha, and you're gonna be motzi, yotze with my bracha. So it's Tosho says, sounds like that would work in the middle of the meal as well. If you have the Baal HaBayis sitting at the head of the table, and he says, I'd like to make a toast, in the middle of the meal, and he says, Savri, and like everyone, like over here, pay attention. So then, sounds like it would work. Now, okay, good. So in other words, the Tosus conjectures and says it sounds like that in the middle of the meal, one person can make a bracha on behalf of everyone. V'ein nira l'Rabbeinu Elchanan, but then Tosus quotes one of the Balei HaTosus, Rabbeinu Elchanan, and he says, I don't think so. The kevin shetiknu chacham shivar kolach alatzmo, eino yotze klal bebirchas chavero. V'gam shlo tachlok bein pani l'sheinu pani, the aslamite. Now, so Rabbeinu Elchanan says, look, you're now going to start splitting hairs, meaning in the middle of the meal. Well, in this scenario, everyone's paying attention. But in that scenario, in other words, it's too confusing. Let's say it like this, says Rabbeinu Elchanan. In the middle of the meal, everyone has to make their own bracha. I cannot have one person making a bracha for another, even though we could create a scenario in which I can get everyone's attention, but Rabbeinu Elchanan says it's too confusing. Therefore, in the middle of the meal, unilaterally, everyone has to make their own bracha. Okay, good. Tosus goes on. The accepted halacha, I'm not saying, but I'm just, you know, I know I'm throwing out a lot, but the basic idea over here is, can we come to a scenario in the middle of the meal where I can get everyone's attention, discussed and debated within Tosfos? Okay. Back to the Gemara. Avu omer ala mogmar. Okay. First, I told you yesterday when we learned the Mishnah, it was a nice minug, right? And again, obviously not on Shabbos. But during the week, at the end of the meal, when the meal was over, and they benched, so afterwards they would burn incense. They would put coals right in the middle of the room, and they would throw incense right on top of the coals, and then pillar of smoke would come up, and the room would smell beautiful. And now that you're burning incense, so what do? Make a bracha. So, the first thing we're going to discuss is, who is mechubad with the bracha? Mechubad with the bracha of Mugmar. Now, if you remember the Mishnah, let's go over it. Previous Amud, top of the Amud, the Mishnah says, Al ha-mugmar, af api she'in mevin es ha-mugmar, I'm sorry, v'hu omer al ha-mugmar. Let me go back one step. At the end of the meal, one person would make the bracha bor pri agafin for everybody. And then the Mishnah says, V'hu omer ala mugmar. And this same guy who made the bracha over wine, since he started one bracha, let him continue. And he'll make the bracha over the mugmar. And I read the Rashi yesterday. I'm going to reread the Rashi again. On the Mishnah, okay, good. So it's this same person. Now the Gemara wants to know, what do you mean? Why is the Mishnah saying he's the one who makes the bracha of a mugmar? It sounds like what we did in the Mishnah is we bypassed somebody. Meaning, it sounds like from the Mishnah, if you listen to the Mishnah carefully. Sounds like maybe there was somebody else who really should have made that bracha over the mugmar. So v'hu omer la mugmar, mitzani v'hu omer la mugmar mechlavdi ka'atif minei. Sounds like there was somebody that was just as eligible, if not maybe even more eligible. Skip the next line of the Gemara. Okay, misayel al rav damarav chia baravashi amarav hanotu yadav tchila ba'achrona hu mezum al bracha. Yeah, you know who we bypassed? The guy who benched. Right. The guy who benched, meaning the first one who does Mayim Achronim, right? Right. Again, assuming that you do Mayim Achronim, and again, assuming that you're doing it during the week, so what you're doing is you're handing the Mayim Achronim to somebody at the table, that's the tip-off. That says, you're the one who's going to lead benching. You're the one who's going to do Zimun. So, what we did is that the Mugmar, who do we bypass? We bypass the guy who was benching. Okay. Rav Rabbi Chiyavi Yasri Kama de Rabbi Bezu Dai. So the Gemara tells a story. We're going to hear the story twice in the Masechta. Once now, once 4 days from now. And the story goes where Rav and Rabbi Chiyah were sitting in front of Rabbi. Right? Rav was a student of Rabbi. Rabbi Chiyah also was a student of Rabbi. And Amalei Rabbi L'Rav Kom Mashiach Deich. So Rabbi points to Rav, his student, and says, you go wash your hands. Okay. Now Chazi Dav Emir Tach. Now Rav didn't understand. And now my Rebbe just pointed his finger at me and just told me to go wash my hands. What did I do wrong? Well, Rashi offers the possibilities of what he did wrong. Maybe I'm just filthy. Maybe I'm just eating too much. I'm fressing too much. And so maybe what my Rebbe is telling me is stop eating. So Amarle Rebbe Chiya Bar Pachsi. So Rebbe Chiya turns to his nephew Rav, right? Rebbe Chiya was the uncle of Rav. And he says to his nephew Bar Pachsi, that was his nickname, right? They had nicknames for one another. So Ayin be birchas mezona kamarlach. No, you totally misunderstood what your Rebbe told you. In other words, by him saying to you, go wash your hands, it means you start the Mayim Achronim, because you're the one who's going to be benching. Now, when do you make the bracha on Reach?
Sorry, that means that only one person does Mayim Achronim?
No, he's the one who started Mayim Achronim. Meaning, then of course it's going to get passed around, everyone else is going to do it, but the first one who does it, he's the one who's going to bench. Lead the benching. They're all going to bench, but he's the one who's going to lead the benching. When we get to the seventh parak, we'll talk more about this, but in those days, one person would bench, everyone would listen. I'm Rabbi Zera HaReach. I'm sorry. Okay? And so, nearly for the remainder of today's daf, we talk about Birchas HaReach, making a bracha over smells. So, the first question the Gemara deals with is when? When do I make the bracha? Mishatala Timraso. So, now what happens is that you take the incense, you put it right over the coals, and boom, puff of smoke comes up. So, when that puff of smoke comes up, you make the bracha HaReach. I'm Rabbi Zera LaRava Bar Yirmiyah V'aloka Arach. Well, wait a second. Did the smell come into your nose yet? Did you actually have the sensation of smell yet? You see that it's coming, but it's not here yet. Gemara makes a fascinating comparison. The Gemara says, yeah, but when you make a bracha over bread, are you making the bracha after you ate the bread? No. You made the bracha before you ate the bread. And so, same over here. Meaning, as you're ready to eat the bread, you make the bracha, but right before. As you're ready to smell, you make the bracha, even before you smell. Now the next question of the Gemara is, what bracha do you make? So, anytime you're burning basically a derivative of a tree, so bare atzei b'samim, except chutz mi mushak, right? Musk, animal derivative. Mi mushak shemen chayahu shemavarchem bare minei b'samim. So since it comes off of an animal, so bare atzei b'samim is obviously not appropriate. It's not a tree; it's an animal. Bare minei b'samim. Now here in this braisa, the bracha bare atzei b'samim is limited only to these trees. To yufta, the Gemara says that's difficult. You're right; that is difficult. Now, what it sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion over here that bare atzei b'samim is not a universal bracha for all derivatives of tree. Please take a look at Tosfos, second to last on the Amud, where Tosfos has the discussion about what the conclusion of the Gemara is over here. Okay, there's more to discuss, but I'm going to go on. Amalei Rav Chisda L'Rav Yitzchak Haimashka D'Afar Saman Ma'am Mevarchin Alavei. Oil that comes off the Afar Saman. Afar Saman is some type of fruit. What does it translate into English?
Balsam.
Balsam. Oh, it's not a fruit. I'm sorry, it's not a fruit.
It's a sap.
So Amalei Hakam Rav Yehuda Barei Shemen Artsenu, right? The oil of our land, that is the bracha made by Rav Yehuda. So Amalei Barminei de Rav Yehuda Chaviv Alei Eretz Yisrael. Don't give me Rav Yehuda. You know him. He's crazy about Israel. He loves Eretz Yisrael. Now, by the way, it's interesting because Rav Yehuda didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, but he had a love affair with Eretz Yisrael.
He also didn't go to Eretz Yisrael as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay. The Chaviv Alei Eretz Yisrael, but leave him out. He, in other words, his love for Eretz Yisrael, basically, you know, it affected his bracha making. So that's why he said, Bari Shemen Artsenu. Lekulei Amamai, but for the rest of us. Now, we like Eretz Yisrael also, but not to the same degree Rabbi Yehuda does. So we're going to be a little more objective about it. What bracha do we make? Amalei Hachem Rav Yochanan, Bari Shemen Arev. Okay? The sweet oil. Amar Avada Barava, Hai Kisharta Mevarchin Alavei, Bari Atzei Besamim. Now, if you are going to be smelling Kisharta, what is Kisharta? It's kosht. Now, does that help? You should. Right, it's one of the 11 spices that goes into the Ketores. So if I'm smelling it, it's Bari Atzei B'Samim, it's a derivative of a tree. So it's Bari Atzei B'Samim. Ava Mashka Kevisha Lo. But if it's an oil which is infused with the smell of kosht, meaning the bits of kosht is thrown into the oil, so the oil just smells like kosht, don't make a Bari Atzei B'Samim. Rav Kahana Amar Afilo Mashka Kevisha Ava Mashka Tchina Lo. Now, Rav Kahana disagrees, and he says, no, if there are bits of the kosht wood in the oil, you make it. But if the kosht is ground into a powder, you don't say Bari Atzei B'Samim. Nardai Amrei, Afilu Mashcha Techina. Even if it's ground wood, but as long as you're smelling it, it's Bari Atzei B'Samim. Top of Mem Gim Amad Aleph, Amad Beis. Amrei Rav Gidol Amrei Rav, Hai Samalak, Mevarchin Al Bari Atzei B'Samim. Jasmine. Bari Atzei B'Samim. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, Hani Chalfei Diyama, Mevarchin Bari Atzei B'Samim. Chalfei, Rashi says, Shibolas Nerd. Okay, also should sound familiar. So, how do you say in English?
Spikenard.
Okay, Spikenard. Amar Marzucha Maikra V'hi Alata Magaga V'tim, I'm sorry, did I skip a little bit? No. Amar Marzucha Maikra V'hi Alata Hagaga V'tim Nasam B'Pishtei Ha'eitz. So you see that Pishtan, that flax, is called the tree. That's where Rachav hid the two spies, in the flax tree. So you see that it's fair to call flax a tree, and as Rashi points out, Shibol Nerd has the same property as flax that looks like flax. So therefore, it's fair to make a bracha of Bari Atzei B'Samim. Going on the Gemara, Hai Nirkom. Nirkom Chavatzelas HaSharon. Okay. Okay, you tell me. I don't know. So, Hai Narkom Digininusa Mevarchin Bari Atzei B'Samim. So if it's of the garden variety, so it's Bari Atzei B'Samim. Didabra, if it's of the wilderness variety, Borei Asavei B'Samim. I guess it behaves more less like a tree and more like a plant, like a grass. Amar Rav Sheshes, Hai Sigale. Right? Sagol. Sagol in Hebrew is purple. So we are talking here about violets. Mevarchin Alai Borei Asavei B'Samim. Okay, it's more grassy. Amar Marzutra Haiman Gamorech Be'etroga. O Bechavusha. You want to smell an esrog. Or you want to smell a quince, Omer Baruch Shanasan Reach Tov Beperos. Okay, so it's a fruit, so therefore the bracha is going to be Reach Tov Beperos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haiman Denafik B'Yuma Nisan. You go out in the month of Nisan, V'chazi Ilani Dekamalav Levei, and you see the blooming tree. Omer Baruch Shalochisa B'Olam Aklom, Uvar Bo Brios Tavos, V'Ilanos Tavos, Lehisna Oz Bahem B'nei Adam. Okay, so there's a bracha. For seeing the blooming tree in the month of Elon. In the month of Nisan. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to go through four teachings of Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav. So number one, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amarav, Minashim Avarchan Al Reach. How do you know? Well, where do we get this from? Meaning we've just had a discussion of Gemara of nearly an Amud, of making a bracha over smell. What's the source? Shenamar kol neshama tahalal ka. Ezu davish neshama nanes mimenu veina guf nana mimenu. Give me the sensation of where your neshama gets it, even though your guf really doesn't get any benefit. Haviyomer zareach, that smell. Smell goes right to the neshama. So ve'amar marzutra The Bechor Yisrael, the young men of Israel, are going to smell good like the cedar trees. And we have a girsa on the side of the Gemara, not just the young men, but young men, Bechor Yisrael Shelo Chatu, Tam Chet, young men who never sinned. So ultimately they're going to produce a smell sweeter than Levanon, than the Reach Tov of Levanon. Shenemo Yelchu Yom Kosav, V'yu Kizayas Hodo, V'reach Lo Kalavanon. Okay? I'm
not
sorry.
Young women.
Huh?
Not young women.
Maybe it's the same.
All these
first. Right. The Amar Zuchar Bartubi Amarav, my dichsiv. Now, once we're now on the Gemara does this very often. We quoted one teaching of Rav Zuchar Bartubi, so the Gemara is just going to be Mamshech more. So we have now the following. My dichsiv, it's a kosher yafebi ito. Things which are beautiful in its time. Whatever your profession is, it's good in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning you have your specific profession, and that's good. Be'ito. Amar Rapapa, Haina Dami Inshin. Rapapa says, you know, we have an expression here, which conforms to this, meaning the people speak, and the people speak in a way which is smart old sayings. Tale kur l'davar acher, vi'iu didei avid. You tie up some seaweed, some moss for the pig, and he does what he does. It's like all good old expressions. You don't always fully understand it. But in other words, the pig does what he does. He rolls in the mud. That's his job, and it's good. Meaning that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. A Kadosh Baruch Hu wants people to do their specific job. I know sometimes it's hard to find out what your job is going to be, but once you get it, it's good. When you go out at night, so if you're holding a torch in your hand, so that's good. It's like two people walking together, meaning security, safety. And if it's a full moon outside, that's like three people walking together. That's good, meaning it provides the same degree of security as if you're like walking together with a crowd of three. Now, even though it's a wonderful piece of Agadata, you know the Gemara can't help itself. Meaning the Gemara's got to get very technical. Now, when we say two, it means two and you, or two meaning two, including you. Because look, it said the moon is like three. Now, in other words, three means three including you. But in other words, where in halacha do you ever need a crowd of four? Meaning three is considered like a crowd. Look, if you're going out at night, the Shadim will see you by yourself. They see you and they attack. They come out and they attack. Lishnayim, they see two, the Shadim.
Now they send the buses in the lake. We might just be delayed a few minutes.
Nice. Nira ve'eno, I love these bas calls. So nira ve'eno mazik. So for two people they come out but they don't attack you. But once you're a crowd of three, shadim don't even come out. They remain in their hiding. So you see that when you're holding a torch in your hand, it's like two, meaning including you. When you have full moonlight outside, it's like three. Okay, another teaching. Amar Rav Zuchar Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Amar La Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Rabbi Shimon Chasida VaAmri La Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Nochlo La Adam Sheyepal Atzmal Tochiv Shana Eish VaYabim Pnei Chavero Barabim. We're going to hear this a lot over the course of Shas, four times. Not because I have Bikius, but simply because I know how to look into the margin of the Gemara. Four times we're going to hear this teaching in the Gemara, and that is better to allow yourself to be killed than to publicly embarrass somebody else. How do we know that? Minalamin Tamar, we learn from the story of Tamar Shenamar Himutseis, and the Gemara over here says, you know the story. Right? And by the way, I'll say the same thing. You know the story. Tamar was about to be killed rather than publicly embarrass her father-in-law slash husband slash father of her children. Rabbeinu Yonah, I'll just say quickly, Rabbeinu Yonah and his on his commentary to Pirkei Avos says, this is not one of the big three, right? So, and you're supposed to give up your life for this? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, it's a novel approach, it was such a big chiddush. He says that when you publicly embarrass somebody, so it's like you killed the person. and it's like, and you know you're supposed to give up your life rather than kill another person. So Rabbeinu Yonah says same thing with public embarrassment. It's like you killed him. Okay, it's the lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a tolada. It's like a subcategory. Okay, let me just go to a couple more minutes. Tana Rabbeinu Avila Fan of Shem and Vahadas. Okay, you have now a choice of smelling a fragrant oil or a hadas. Which one should you smell first? So Beis Hillel says the correct order is first hadas, then shemen. So Rami Gamliel says, let me get involved. So shemen, zachinu l'recho v'zachinu l'sichaso, hadas l'recho zachinu l'sichaso lo zachinu. And Rabbi Gamliel says, look, oil, you get two benefits. And meanwhile, hadas, you only can smell it. But oil, you can smell and you can rub it into your skin. I'm Rav Yochanan, halacha kedivrei ha-machriya. Now Rav Yochanan says, that's the halacha. Now Rav Papa Ikla lebe Rav Huna berei de Rav Ika, aisu lekami shemen v'hadas, shakur Rav Papa baruch ha-hadas bereish v'hadar baruch ha-shemen. So what did Rav Papa do? We're ending with the story. Rav Papa first made a bracha over the hadas, and then he made a bracha over the oil. So who was he following like?
Rabbi Gamliel.
Well, no, he was following like Beis Hillel. So Amarle lo savar amar halacha kedivrei ha-machriya. But wait a second, didn't Rabbi Gamliel paskin like Beis Shammai? Amarle hachi amar Rava halacha kebeis Hillel. So he said, well, Rava said the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now in this next line of Gemara, we could spend a lot of time on, I'm just going to read it. Velohi, the Gemara says, but it's not true. Li'ishtemute nashehu da'avid. The Gemara says, he was just embarrassed that he did incorrectly, so he misquoted Rava. Rava never said the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but he just did it to save face. Oh, what an awkward Gemara. Meaning essentially what the Gemara is saying here is that Rav Papa basically bent the truth. You like the way I said that, right? He bent the truth in order so that he would not be embarrassed. Okay, I know there's much to discuss over here. It sounds, the way I just ended the daf today sounded so awkward. So, but we will end the daf right now. And tomorrow, I'll start off by trying to give a little more clarity to this issue. רבי חנן ימנקש אמר רצה כסברוך לזעת וסוף יחכיר במתור מצו שנה מנה חפית למנציקו יגדיל תורה וידיר.